Well, good morning. It's good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord. And I have a little bit congestion here with the spring weather, and my head's a little filled up, and it's not from yelling at the TV. That's what some people said during March Madness. I know a lot of you are excited to get home for the state game here, not the Iowa State game, because they're not in it. Oh, sorry. The Michigan State game here, so we'll probably get out a little early today so we can get home for that. Anyways, man, no basketball fans in here today, or just kind of, are your teams out of the tournament, I guess. Okay. We can still, stuttering here. We can still cheer for you and I, right? You and I? All right. We are in the second week of a series, The Counselor. And last week, we talked about two things to remember and embrace when you're in the storm. Two things to remember or embrace when you're in a storm in life. And the first we said is that you're in the storm with His presence. You're in the storm with His presence. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. The second thing we said is that you're in the storm for His purposes. He has a purpose and a reason for why you're in the storm. You may remember that He took the disciples in the storm and through the storm. It was not that they were out of the will of God. It wasn't that they had done something bad, that this situation was happening, that this storm came out of nowhere. Jesus had a purpose for them in that storm, and it was to increase their level of belief, to bring them to a whole nother level. And so that's what we learned last week here in this series. Today I want to talk to those of you who feel you may need a touch from God. You feel that you may need a touch from God. In other words, you may have a problem in your life right now. You may have a challenge or something that you just don't know how to solve. And you've been praying to God about it. You've been believing Him for a miracle. And Jesus is going to ask you the same question that He asked two blind guys. And that is, do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? Today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9, and let me just kind of set the context or the backdrop for this story. Before Jesus met these two blind guys there on the road, He had healed a little girl, and really that's putting it mildly because He raised her from the dead. And so when this happened, it just blew people's minds, and rumors began to spread about what Jesus was doing. And so these two blind guys heard about what Jesus was doing, and they in essence said, hey, we want to be healed. We want to be healed too. And so that's where we kind of pick up this story that we're going to be in today in Matthew 9, verse 27. Let's look at this verse as we dive in. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed Him, calling out, have mercy on us, Son of David. Have mercy on us, Son of David. What is it I want you to notice here? Those last words, Son of David. Calling out Son of David meant that they believed He was the Messiah. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. The words calling out don't do justice here, because those words actually mean like an animalistic cry, like a woman who's in childbirth, right, in labor. That's the type of cry these men were crying out. So they were passionate. They were really crying out with all their being, all that they had to Jesus as He was walking by. Let's continue on here in verses 28 through 30. When He had gone indoors, the blind men came to Him and He asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then He touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, those are key words there, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. What about those words, according to their faith? Well, it wasn't according to their income. It wasn't according to their social status. It wasn't according to what other people thought about them. It wasn't according to whether they went to church last weekend or not. It wasn't according to the clothes they wore. It was what? According to their faith. Hebrews 11:6 says this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, God loves when we believe in faith. God loves when we believe in faith. This is a faith-building story. If we have faith, we can move the heart of God. For some people, this can be very discouraging. Why? Because in church circles, sometimes people can be cruel about this teaching. For instance, they may say, you know, God didn't answer your prayers because you had a lack of faith. Now, when God answers prayers, he deserves all the credit, all the praise, all the glory and honor. However, when God doesn't answer something that you may have prayed for, what happens? We often get the blame. Well, you didn't pray the right way. You didn't pray the right way. That's why God didn't answer. You didn't pray long enough. You didn't pray hard enough. When you are praying, you weren't shouting or you weren't crying out with passion. You simply didn't have enough faith, and that's why God didn't answer your prayers. And because people tell us these things, we start to live under a false sense of guilt. We believe, well, maybe I did something wrong. Right? Maybe I did something wrong. Which begs the question, what kind of faith does God honor? Just what kind of faith does God honor? Well, the first I would say is this: a faith that believes when it doesn't see. A faith that believes when it doesn't see. Hebrews 11:1 says this: "Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see." Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Long before these two blind men saw any results, they believed. In fact, let's go back to the text, verse 28. "When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' 'Yes, Lord,' they replied." I want you to take whatever massive challenge you're facing today, be it relational, could be a relationship that's strained in your life right now. Maybe it's something physical. There's a physical ailment that you have or in your family right now that you're dealing with. Maybe it's something financial. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe it's having a child or raising a teenager. Do you believe that God is able to hear your prayer and answer on your behalf? Do you really believe that God is able to hear your prayer and answer on your behalf? Do you believe that nothing is impossible with God? You know what the church answer is? Oh, yeah, I believe. Sure, I believe in God. I'm here this morning, aren't I? Right? I believe. I believe there's a God. You know, so often our actions and our words, they betray us. We say things like, well, all I can do now is pray. That's all I can do is pray. Meanwhile, God's up in heaven saying, well, now you're in big trouble, right? Because you're down to me as a last resort. I want you to think about what you prayed about the last 7 days. What have you been praying about the last 7 days faithfully every single day? You may say, well, Ed, I haven't been praying about much of anything. I haven't prayed about much of anything. What you pray about reflects what you believe about God. If you're not praying about much, what does it show? It shows that you don't believe that God is active, that he's involved, and that he can. If you've been praying big prayers, It shows that you believe in a big God. In fact, here's a key point on the back of your bulletin for those of you taking notes. The size of your request reveals the strength of your faith. The size of your request reveals the strength of your faith. If every time you go somewhere you pray, God, keep us safe, give us traveling mercies on this trip, that doesn't require very big faith. Why? Because we live in America. We have paved roads, right? Cars with airbags. If every time you pray at a meal, you say, well, God, bless this food, right? That doesn't require a miracle. The food's probably going to be okay, unless we're visiting a foreign place and you're like, I really have questions. I'll tell you, one time I was on a mission trip in Mexico, and the first night they served us this bowl of soup there. And I said to one of my deacons who was with me, I said, you drink this, and if you're okay in the morning, I will have it the next day. And he said, well, you know, if they see you not eating it, their feelings will get hurt. And I said, I got that covered. As soon as they're looking the other way, I'm going to pour my bowl into your bowl. I actually did that. And he was all right, and anyways, I drank it the next day, but, well, that's a good guy, but I don't know what that says about me, but anyways, so if you pray, God, bless this food, right, typically it doesn't require much faith, right, not here in America, at least. Do you believe that God is able to heal your marriage that maybe is not at the point where it could be or should be? Do you believe that God is able to help you overcome an addiction that has plagued you for years? Do you believe that the name of Jesus is bigger than the name of cancer? Do you believe that His name will help you overcome and bring healing in your life? A faith that honors God, a faith that honors God, believes even when it cannot see. Right? That's the type of faith that honors God. It believes even when it doesn't see. Right? Faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. What other type of faith honors God? Second, a faith that persists when nothing changes. Right, nothing's changing. I don't understand. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. A faith that persists when nothing changes. What happened in this story? These two blind men are walking along. They see Jesus and they cry out with passion, an animalistic cry. And what does Jesus do? Jesus keeps on walking. Jesus walks into the house. And so what do these two blind men do? They followed him into the house. In other words, they were persistent. You remember the story of the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18? The Bible says that what she kept coming, an ongoing process. She kept coming, right? And the unjust judge had said, I'm going to see that this woman gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. Because she just keeps coming back and back. This widow, she's persistent. She's not giving up. In fact, let's look at the text there, Luke 18, verses 4 and 5. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God. All right, he's honest. I don't really fear God. Or care about people. I don't care about other people, but this woman is driving me crazy. Right? You might have said that this week about somebody, right? This person's driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. All I got to say is read your Bible. It's fun, right? It's powerful, and sometimes it'll make you laugh, right? You read this. Are you guys awake this morning? Okay, good. I heard a laugh. That's good. Positive. You know, Bill Hybels tells a story about a lady in her 70s that he baptized. And he said this lady who was in her 70s happened to come that day with her daughter who was in her late 40s, early 50s. And when he had baptized her mom, the daughter just started sobbing and crying and bawling. And he said to the daughter, he said, "Why are you crying? This is a joyous celebration today. We've baptized your mom." And the daughter said, "Well, you don't understand. I've been praying for my mom for 22 years. 22 years. I almost stopped praying for her more times than you could count. In fact, 2 years in, 2 years in, I thought to myself, this isn't working. Why am I still praying? All right, this is stupid. 5 years in, I heard a voice say to me, 'God doesn't care. He's not listening.' 10 years in, the voice was shouting, right? 'God can never reach her.' 15 years in, I thought to myself, 'Why even bother?' 20 years in, I thought, 'Is there even a God? I've been praying and there's no results. Nothing's changing. I don't see anything happening. 22 years I've been praying this prayer, and today I've seen it fulfilled. That's why I'm crying." Maybe you're here this morning, you say, "Ed, that's me. I've been praying, believing, and hoping for something to change here in my life. I came today as a last resort," right? Maybe someone invited you, right? And you're like, "Sure, I'll go to church. What could it hurt?" Right? And you've been praying and you've been hoping, and you understand this story. You are that story. And there's a voice saying to you, "Why are you still praying about this situation? Why are you still believing? God can never do that, right? It's never going to happen." And even though you don't see it, you continue to believe it. Even though you don't see it, you continue to believe it. Don't ever give up, right? God is faithful. God is so faithful. Right? What type of faith honors God? A faith that believes when it doesn't see. A faith that persists when nothing changes. And thirdly, a faith that works when it doesn't make sense. A faith that works when it doesn't make sense. You know, there's a big difference between hope and faith. Hope is a desired outcome. Faith is a demonstration. Right? Hope is a desired outcome. Faith is a demonstration. Who's a man of faith? Abraham. Right? Abraham, way back in Genesis, you know the story. Abraham was prepared to sacrifice his son. In fact, he had tied him down on top of the altar, picked up the knife, and was about to lower the knife on his son when an angel stepped in and said, "Hold on a second, Abraham." You remember Genesis 22, verses 11 and 12? Let's look at it. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Yes, Abraham," replied. "Here I am." "Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Don't hurt him in any way, for I know you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son." In fact, in the New Testament, in the book of James, James kind of sums this up when he talks about Abraham in chapter 2, verse 22. He says this, "You see his faith and his actions, they were working together. His actions made his faith complete." Right? His faith and his actions were working together, and his actions made his faith complete. These two blind guys, they could have been like any one of us. I mean, really. We have a problem in our life, and what do? We magnify the problem. We get so focused on that problem, so focused on that situation, so obsessed with it, that we lose sight of any solution in the hands of God, right? It's like we forget about God. Back in that day, in that culture, to be blind meant that you or your parents must have done something wrong, right? You must have done something wrong to get yourself in this situation. And sometimes we do, but God is so gracious, He's able to pick us out of whatever situation we get ourselves into, right? You must have done something wrong that you are blind, you or your parents. So these guys were living with a real sense of shame, of embarrassment, no hope. And you might feel that here this morning yourself, in your life, in your situation. Maybe you feel some shame or embarrassment or loss of hope. You know, they could have taken the attitude of, we're blind. We're blind, so we can't do anything. Instead, they thought to themselves, we can't see, but we can hear. What do we know about hearing? Romans chapter 10 says that faith comes through hearing. Faith comes through hearing. These guys heard the good news about Jesus. And so they cried out to Jesus, what's the good news? That Jesus died on the cross for your sins and that He rose again on the third day. He purchased our freedom so that our sins could be forgiven. He transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. These guys heard the good news about Jesus, and so they cried out to Him. There are a lot of things that I can't do. As a pastor, as a husband, there are just a lot of things I can't do or that I'm not good at doing. But there are some things I can do. I don't know what you can't do, but there are some things you can do. You can't heal yourself of cancer, but you can seek God and believe Him for a miracle, right? You can change your diet. You can go to the best doctors. You may continue to go to the wrong websites and look at things you shouldn't look at. What can you do? You can pray to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God who made the world and everything in it, the Lord of heaven and earth. You can pray to Him and ask Him for deliverance. And you can put some blocks on your computer, right? You can sign up for Covenant Eyes. Every website you go to will be shown to one of your best friends and they can keep you accountable, right? You can put some blocks on your TV. You can do that. You may not be able to change your spouse, but what can you do? What can you do? You can continue to love your spouse with the help of God as Christ loved the church. And you can pray for your spouse. And that prayer, it may or may not change them, but it will always change you. You may hate the fact that people are being abused in human trafficking. Man, watch a movie like Taken. I don't know how many Takens now they got, like Taken 5, you know, but the first one, that was really good. I mean, that brought an awareness to me about what's going on in the world. Man, that just tore me up inside to see human trafficking. I thought, well, man, how am I going to save all these people? Right? Can't save all these people. You can't rescue every unborn child and make sure that they're given a chance for life. You can't help every inner city kid get a good education. Yes, you can't do everything, but you can do something. So what can you do? Here's the key point there in the back of your bulletin. You can pray big and start small. You can pray big because we have a big God. And you can start small. We're going to let our faith and our works work together. That's what we're going to do. We're going to let our faith and our works work together. Oh, I love this verse in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Paul says this, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Continue to work out your salvation. In other words, you continue to do your part and trust God to do his part. See, God is working in your life and in your heart, whether you realize it or not. It's not an accident that you're here today. You may think, how did I get here today? I thought I would be sleeping in. God wanted you here today. He brought you here today. He placed you here. And he is working in you. He is giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Okay. So what are you saying, Ed? I just have faith and I try really hard. Is that what you're saying? Just have faith and try really hard, then God will answer my prayers. No. Listen, our faith is not in us. Right? Our faith's not in us. Our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is not in our works. Our faith is not in our desired outcome. Our faith is in the faithfulness of God. That's what our faith is in. Our faith is in the faithfulness of God. We serve a God whose ways are higher than our ways. So much higher than our ways. Higher, right, than the earth. The heavens are higher than the earth. A God whose thoughts we can't comprehend or understand, and yet we know that the Bible says all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. But you're in a situation right now and you're like, I don't see how this can work out together for the good. Remember, you're in the storm with his presence. He's there. You may not feel him or sense him, but he's there. And you're in the storm for his purposes. So you need to have a faith that believes when it can't see through the storm. A faith that persists when nothing seems to be changing in the middle of this storm. Right? And a faith that continues to work, continues to do your part when it doesn't make sense. We serve a God who's good through and through. He's all-powerful, all-present. So what kind of faith are we shooting for? I'd say we're shooting for a faith like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. You remember them in the book of Daniel, right? King Nebuchadnezzar said, you need to bow down and worship this statue, or I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And what did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say? They said, you know what? We're not going to bow down and worship your statue. We serve God, the Lord of lords and King of kings. And this last statement on the back of your bulletin here is really their statement. God, I believe you can and will, but even if you don't, I still believe. God, I believe you can. I believe you will, but even if you don't, I still believe. And that's what they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, right? I believe our God can rescue us from this fiery furnace, and he will rescue us. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know we're not going to bow down and worship your statue because we only bow down to Jesus. Our faith is in him. And that's the type of faith that honors God. According to your faith, right? It's not according to your income, your social standing, what other people say about you or think about you. That doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter whether you went to church the last 6 months or you're here today. It doesn't matter the clothes that you're wearing. And without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Are you seeking him? You know, yesterday we had a wedding here, yesterday afternoon, and I challenged that young couple. I said to them, here's the bottom line. seek the one, who's the one? Jesus, with your two, with your spouse. That's what life's all about, seeking the one. Seek what? First his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You want to have a great marriage? You want to have a family that's blessed? Seek the one. Seek Jesus. Jesus said what? I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. It's according to your faith. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, my faith is low right now. Jesus said, what? If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And you might say, well, I feel like I've just been beat up in this area of my life, in this situation, this challenge, and I don't know where to go or how to solve it anymore. Would you pray for me that God would strengthen my faith and my resolve to push through this, believing that he is with me even when I don't see, even when nothing seems to change? Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I've never put my faith in Jesus. I've had faith in myself. I've had faith in my works. I've had faith in other things. But if I were honest, I haven't really put my faith in Jesus. And today I'd like to do that. I'd like to put my faith in him. In a moment, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that as I lead you in a prayer here. And it's not the words, but it's the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance, but what? The Lord looks at the heart. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, Lord, there are times when all of our faith gets misplaced. Misplaced in things, and people that let us down, in situations. And so a lot of times what we have is a misplaced faith, when our faith needs to be in you. And you ask us one question: do you believe I am able to do this? And we give that churchy answer, oh, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, and it's just so nonchalant. It just kind of rolls off our tongue. And meanwhile, our actions betray us and show that we don't really believe, but sometimes we just see you as a last resort. Well, nothing else has worked, so I guess I'll just try God and plug him in and hit the play button and see if that works. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Ed, I'm that person. I'm that person who's placed faith in the wrong things. I've never put my faith in Jesus. And you may not even truly understand what that means, and that's okay. That's what faith is. It's trusting God when you can't see things clearly. Right? But right now, the Holy Spirit's moving in your heart, and you're like, yes, I want Jesus. And so if that's you, I would just ask you softly and quietly to repeat these words in your heart after me, and here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I've allowed the situation to take over. I've focused on the problem, I've magnified the problem, and I've lost sight of any solution in the hands of God. Would you pray for me? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Give them a faith that is deep and strong. Carry them through whatever it is they're dealing with right now in their lives. And may you prove to be more than faithful. Develop them, shape them into your image and likeness, that they may be able to say, God, I believe you can and you will, but even if you don't, I still believe. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.